Good morning. It was June of 1983, and I was brand new to a certain business and very young and not expected to, by some, to really make it. So I worked hard at it. It was the real estate business long before ministry. And there was a fellow that had contacted me, and I've talked to him since, and he doesn't mind me using the name. His name was Joe Driver. And he wanted a house, and I was the one that was tasked in finding that house. But there was a problem. He didn't have all the down payment. And we looked and we searched, and I got creative, and I wanted to put a deal together so bad because I needed a sale, because I was so green and so fresh in this and wanted to impress the boss. And I had to deal with Joe's, lack of enthusiasm about getting this place. He was about $5,000 short for what we needed for a down payment. And I was sitting in his house with him, his apartment at that time, and he said, you know, I guess it's just not meant for me, times being what they are. Well, now, I had come to Unity about 2 years earlier, but I was using the positive thinking, you know, let's get out, rah, rah, we can do this kind of thing. I was still into the green lights and the parking spaces. I was sort of a babe when it came to the principles. And so I said, times being what they are, I mean, you know, one of the great motivational speakers said, circumstances, you know, heck, I make circumstances. You could do this. We could find it. Let's go a little longer. Ask them if they'll hold this for you a little longer, the contract. And he said, no, it's just times being what things have never really worked out for me anyway. And he said, I got my VA, and I thought I was going to use it, and I thought I had enough, and I don't. And there was something in me at that time that got a little angry. Now, I don't do that much anymore about things like that. By the time I got a little angry, I thought, don't give up so quick. There's a way. There's got to be a way. We'll find it. And I had to deal with him kind of pulling him along with the idea that he could actually have this place. Well, a long story, as short as it can be, is that we were able to do it with some creative financing. It did work. And times being what they are, he got the house. And I got the sale, and he got happy, and he said, maybe this positive thinking stuff you talk about does work. I'll have to look into it. And all these years later, I don't think he's really looked into it very much, kind of on the periphery of it, and says, I think it works for some, but not everybody. Back then, I believed that it could work for everybody because I was just naive enough to believe that right here was where life proceeds. And that was at the very beginning of my study of Unity. I had been in it 2 years at that time in 1983. And I look around today and I see people talking about the times. And they say, there's not much I can do as an individual. And I want to say the greatest things that are done by individuals. Because a decision made can create a ripple effect that catch other people who are in the same mental place you are, or let's say it's the law of resonation, as metaphysics says. In other words, our thoughts create and touch those with a similar mindset. So it behooves all of us to keep our mental house clean. When we say things like, times being what they are, it never works out, it's just my luck. Some people even get real metaphysical with it and say, it's my karma. You see, I'm not supposed to have so much this time around because somebody told me that at a metaphysical fair or something that it was just my thing to have to deal with. Well, I don't accept that because I believe that every moment is new. And I believe that such words and such phrases that we use in metaphysics can sometimes be used as a sense of fatalism, escapism, a reason to just endure. And there's no place in the Christian scriptures that I've read that Christ Jesus said we just had to endure life. I quoted this before, and I've said, Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Joe Driver got life abundantly when he got the house. And I've seen it over and over again in my own life when I make a resolute decision. I don't outline, as it's called in metaphysics. I say I don't have to have it my way. But I know my good is on my way, is on its way to me. And the reason I know that is because truth principles say that, and truth principles mirror what Christ Jesus said. You see, we've gotten this idea that sometimes the Christian life has to be one of drudgery and acceptance, and one particular religion had said, you must accept your lot. I don't believe in that. The things that happen that are wonderful in this world are things that happen by people who get up and make a decision to change their life, and the world changes. If you don't believe that, let's remember Rosa Parks, who in the 1960s said, "Not today," in the back of the bus. And that started a whole domino effect of thought, and a critical mass was reached, and life changed on the basis of one person. Look at Gandhi's non-resistance. Look at the fierce power of that non-resistance, the power of a decision. When a critical mass is reached inside us and inside others, it can take off in wonderful ways. Unfortunately, it also works negatively. We can get so fearful, and we can have so many fearful people around us that we go the other way, and we have to work doubly hard to get out of it. I say, accept it as it is, whatever the circumstance is inside you and out there, and then realize you have the power to change it. You have to first accept it, because you'll be resisting against something you think shouldn't be there. It's shown up, whatever it is in your life, for a reason. It's the catalyst for a new life. That problem, that depression, that addiction, that person is there to teach you about yourself. And it's there for you to overcome. And overcoming is a wonderful feeling. That's what we celebrate. The worst thing that ever happened to a person on Easter Sunday, the answer to that was a resurrection 3 days later. Life is about renewal, reproduction, and ultimately victory. I've never seen in any time in my ministry or in my life when solid negativity persisted in over and over again produced any results except fear, destruction, and even hate. We know inside us when we're not doing all we can do to be all we can be. We know it by a nagging sense, maybe of a depression, a fear, and anxiety. We keep getting reminders of that, and we'll attract people who will show us that. We resonate one to another. That's why it's so important, if you're in a lower space, to either meditate, contemplate, visualize, pray, whatever you have to do to get out of that, because then you're going to start attracting people that match your mental state. Emmett Fox called it the mental equivalent. I believe very much in that. You form in your mind a picture of who and what you want to be, and then through that decision, you send out, for want of a better word, vibrations that attract the same people into your life with the same goals, with the same ideals, with the same desire to better themselves. Times are what they are, and they always will be what they are. We are who we are. We're made to master circumstance. And the way we master circumstance is either through an acceptance of it for now and a decision to make it different as soon as we can, or we take a stand right where we are and we say, I don't live this way anymore. It's over, it's finished. I forgive, I release, I take a chance on me. I take a chance on somebody else. I am, whatever it takes, I'm going to get out of the box and I'm going to live a new way. It may not be the way you think it will be, but it has to happen. It has to happen because the decision, the power of a decision, as Raymond Charles Barker said in his wonderful book that was put out by Science of Mind, the power of decision is the power of life itself. That is using the God energy that is flowing through you night and day to create your world. You create your world by every thought you think, and especially by every feeling you feel. Feelings are very important. Now, they're not to be worshipped necessarily, but they give you an idea if you're on the right track or you need to correct or however you want to put it. They are there to show you how to go forward. But you can't always trust feelings in the moment because we as humans tend to judge according to appearances instead of judging righteous judgment, which is, I am a wonderful, perfect child of God, here to learn and grow and be all I can be. I have taught that ever since I've been in ministry. And I have always said, I will not tell somebody something that I haven't been able to manifest or produce in my own life. I'm far from where I want to be, but I'm a lot farther than I was 12 years ago. Life is a process designed for our learning and for our growth and ultimately for our cosmic education. If you believe in reincarnation, then we get it right this time, we're going to come back and do something even better. And we don't get it right this time, we have a chance to do it again, if that's your belief. The other belief is, it's always now, and we pass on into another dimension with all the wonderful lessons and things we've learned to experience life. As it said, the great architect of the universe did not build a stairway leading nowhere. So we go into the next plane of existence by what we've done, the decisions we've made here. And that's why here and now is so important. I love Eckhart Tolle talking about the power of now because that's all there is. If I refer to my past, that was a then now. And if I refer to my future, that's a now then. Now is all I've got. So that's the working unit of my life, and I better make the most of it. Whether I'm delivering a message, or whether I'm meditating, or whether I'm petting my cats, or whether I'm doing any normal, everyday thing, now is what I've got. I may have great memories about it later, and they're fun to go back to, but now is the unit that works in my life, and yours. I believe in expansion. When I came to this church for the first time, I was amazed by the love that was inside this building. And I thought, is it my job to expand that? Is it my job to sit quietly with it? What do I do as a leader? What is incumbent upon me as a leader to do as the spiritual leader of this church? And I came to an idea. I believe that the love that is in these walls and the times being what they are for us right now, we need to expand that to the world outside. We are a wonderful group of people that love unconditionally. And the world needs that right now. Bernie needs it. San Antonio needs it. New York needs it. My point is, everybody needs what we have. We offer hope, joy, peace, power, plenty, and then most especially love. I want to ask you to think about this week expansion. Expansion of yourself and expansion of where we are. What do we want for our church in the upcoming year? What do we want for ourselves? Because it's going to mirror, those are going to mirror each other. What we want for ourselves and what we want for our church will tend to be correlate with one another. I believe that we stand in a unique place to take our love, our goodwill, our teaching to a city, a group, or a person who needs it. Who knows who we touch every Sunday and every day of our life by what we learn here, what we practice here, and what we believe. My prayer is that you will decide inside you what you want, and that we will harmonize and be in one accord and unified about where we go from this point forward. As individuals, I think the best way to do that is to sit down and ask ourselves, what do we really want for ourselves this year, and what do we want for our church this year? The questions have to be answered by you. I can supply a vision, but I want it to match those that are in front of me and those that I'm called to serve. So what I'm saying is, we're at a unique crossroads right now. When I believe we can grow, I've seen it happen. I've seen people grow here. I've grown here. And the love I felt here is something I cherish. Times being what they are, it's time to make some decisions about ourselves, about our lives, about our church, about many things. Each one of you know what it is. We're never too old to chart a new course. We're never too much in a, quote, rut to make another decision. Course in Miracles says, choose once again. You're always at choice. You're always powerful. You're always a child of the living God, even if you don't feel like it. You know, life can wear us down. And that's why we gather together. We get strength from one another. There is a unified mental force in these walls of love. And it bounces off and it affects each one of us. That's why when we walk out of here, we feel so good. We sing the peace song. We know that we've been recharged for another week. And we feel stronger and more apt and able to tackle the issues that we have to tackle in our lives. A church should not be a museum to worship a God of the past. It should be a living center that recognizes who and what we are. I don't want life to become so daily for each of us that we forget who and what we are. We are unique individual points of light with a job and a mission. Richard Bach wrote in Illusions, here is a test to find out if your mission on earth is finished. If you're alive, it's not. You're still here for a reason. And don't let the Lilliputians, the small things, the things that the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune that humans are heir to, don't let that define you. Every great thing, every wonderful decision, every movement forward in society was made by a person who stood up and said, this is the way I'm going forward, contrary to what I've done in the past. I am ready to reach out for new life. And I don't know of any psychologist, psychiatrist, therapist, minister of any persuasion that doesn't say you have to make a new decision. It's just that I don't believe in attaching guilt to that. I don't believe you have to condemn yourself for what you did in the past. I believe you need to forgive yourself, love yourself, and realize it was a necessary part of your growth. Life is for learning. Life is for loving. Life is for living. This is what all the great masters have taught. I have gone through their writings. I have combed them looking for all the things that could be divergent and all the things that could be the same. And while there are different ways of expressing their ideas and their rituals about God, the one thing that is in common with all the wonderful ascended masters, descended masters, those that have written, those that have lectured, those that are of the Stoic groups of ideas like Marcus Aurelius, those who are of the religious groups like St. Francis, all of them say one thing. There is one single message in this. Life is new. Reach out for it. Be in love. Forgive. Be Christ-like. And what does Christ-like mean? It doesn't mean floating around and saying peace all the time. It means taking life and living it. Jesus Christ was a carpenter, and he surrounded himself with some pretty tough guys. And I like to think that he was a great deal like me and like you, that he had the same insecurities that every, you know, he had to work on himself to become what he was. We have to do that too. We can't just spray paint our affirmations, our positive thoughts up on the wall or vision board and say, that's it, I don't have to do anymore. That's a wonderful start because it keeps it in front of us, it reminds us. But we have to go out and do the footwork. And that's the fun part, because I can prove that it's the fun part. How many things have you gone through at the time that you say, I just hate it, I wouldn't want to do it, I can't. And you look back on it now and you think, you know, that was a pretty good time of growth. I remember some fun during that time. Growth is painful. It stretches us. But if there's anything as such as a good pain, I think that's it. You're moving past the limitations, the blocks that you may have set or somebody may have set for you. The worst ones are the ones we set for ourselves, the things we say we can't do, the things we believe about ourselves that aren't true, the lies we tell ourselves in the name of saying, I'm just being realistic. That's not realistic. Realism is the decision to make a new decision and to continue to make a series of new decisions until you're where you want to be, until you are experiencing life and loving life and living in a way that is good for you. It may not be good for your neighbor, but you know it when it's right for you. I want to give you some ideas this morning before I close and how to do that, or at least some things that I've done in my life to have this happen. I don't rule out the possibility of anything that I'm interested in. For example, I would like to play the piano, but not too much because I don't practice it. If it was a priority, I'd do it. It's not a priority. What's a priority to me is to be a better pastor and spiritual leader than I was the week before. Therefore, I study, I meditate, I interact with all of you as much as I can, I listen, and I bring what truth I have and what truth I know to bear on your life, and you share with me, and we have a wonderful connection. That's something that's a priority to me. Another thing that's a priority to me is to be able to study my metaphysics. The things that I learned 40 years ago that I need to be reminded of still, they resonate in my mind. That is, God is the only presence and power and full of love, and I create my reality by the way I think. And my reality is in large part affected by who I forgive, especially myself, and who I set free. So the expansive personality that I'm talking about, the expansive ideals that I want to see us all embrace, come from this individual work we do on ourselves. I don't believe I've ever read any metaphysician of any stripe who's ever said it comes collectively. It comes individually, and it's caught collectively. The thoughts that we put out literally produce after their kind. The way we treat people is in large part the way we're going to be treated. The way we treat ourselves is so very important. Love yourself. Love your negatives. They're there for a reason. Love the things that you think you just can't tolerate. You know, they say everyone has a dark side, but have you realized if you turn around and give love to that side, it becomes a thing that works for you? Everybody knows that we have little things we don't want people to know about, but if we turn around and we're not afraid of it and we embrace it, it becomes part of the grist for the mill of our growth. I've seen it. I've seen it, and I've worked with it. Expansion. Forget times. Think expansion. Personally. Something that means something to you that you may not have tried before. Something that you want to see manifest in your life. Think about it. Visualize it. 24 hours a day. Let it consume you. Let it be, as Lloyd Douglas said, your magnificent obsession. Stick with it. Don't let it go. So many people get close and they drop it. You know the old story about 3 feet from gold, acres of diamonds. A person quits drilling or digging, and if they'd done it just a little bit more, they'd have hit the gold, they'd have gotten the diamonds. Sometimes it's just that one more hit, that one more effort, that one more giving it what you've got. I hope for each one of you that this message today has challenged you to give up something that you may have held against yourself or somebody else so that you can expand, so that you can grow, and so that you can be everything you're meant to be. This is the life you have. You have an individual life. We have a church life. We can expand or we can contract. We can decide to go in the direction of our dominant dreams and desires, or we can say we want to contract and we want to remain as we are. Life is a process, and I want each one of you to enjoy the process, and the best way to enjoy that process is to be the best you can be. You know what that means. You know what you have to do inside. I'm here to help with anybody, anytime. We'll work together. I'm always available. And if there's anything that you need help with, don't ever hesitate to let me know. I'm right here, and I send my love to all of you. I send my best to all of you, and I affirm that you are God's perfect child here to experience and love. I uphold you in that. I applaud you in that. Thank you. Thank you for being who you are. And I'll say, never let better be the enemy of best. In other words, if it gets a little better, go on and go for it. Grab it, take it, and so it is.